This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Spotify's CEO says he doesn't believe in silencing controversial podcast host Joe Rogan. But the conflict has left Spotify grappling with a key question. Is it a tech platform or a media company?
People are looking at these relationships and saying, you know, this is more than just Spotify hosting or distributing this content. This is Spotify really having a role and a responsibility for the content on its platform.
And the impact of two discount airlines teaming up. Plus, how to combat workplace burnout without quitting your job. It's Monday, February 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Frontier and Spirit, two of the country's largest low-fare airlines, are looking to become a discount carrier juggernaut. Frontier has agreed to buy Spirit for $2.9 billion. The companies say the cash and stock deal would allow them to compete against larger rivals as travel continues to recover toward pre-pandemic levels. Our airline reporter Allison Sider has more.
Airlines like Spirit and Frontier, they're low-cost airlines. They cater especially to vacation, leisure travelers. So they've come out of the pandemic, you know, in a pretty good position to capture a lot of the travel we've seen since in the last year has primarily been leisure travel and, you know, less business travel. So, you know, they've seen the demand for the type of trips that they offer more or less rebound. So, you know, they're hoping by combining, they'll be able to be more aggressive to go after larger competitors that still dominate the U.S. travel market.
Frontier would own just over half of the combined company. The deal is expected to close in the second half of this year, pending regulatory approval. Shares of Spirit closed the day up 17%, while Frontier's stock wavered, ultimately ending the day up about 3.5%. Tyson Foods posted a higher-than-expected profit last quarter as demand and price increases offset the challenges of staffing shortages and rising costs. The meat packer, whose brands include Jimmy Dean, Hillshire Farm, and Ballpark, said beef prices were up by about 30% compared with the same period a year earlier. Pork prices were up 13%. Chicken was up about 20% on average. Tyson said it would spend about $2 billion on capital investments this year, including for automation. U.S. Treasury yields are nearing their highest levels since 2019, following a strong January jobs report and signals that the Federal Reserve might begin raising interest rates next month. Margaret's reporter Sam Goldfarb has more.
Investors and analysts are watching bond yields closely because they set a floor on interest rates across the economy and make borrowing more expensive for businesses that could cut into profits. Also, bond yields are sort of an input into models that investors use to figure out what stock prices should be. And typically when bond yields go up, all else being equal, the future earnings of businesses become a little less valuable.
U.S. stocks ended the day mixed. The Dow was roughly unchanged. The Nasdaq dropped 0.6%, and the S&P 500 lost 0.4%. Venture capitalist Peter Thiel is planning to step down from the board at Facebook's parent company, Meta Platforms. According to a person familiar with the matter, Thiel intends to focus his efforts on helping Republican candidates that support former President Trump's agenda in the 2022 midterm elections. Thiel became Facebook's first outside investor when he acquired a stake for $500,000 in August 2004. He's served on the company's board since 2005. The co-producer of the new Matrix movie, The Matrix Resurrections, is suing Warner Brothers for releasing the film simultaneously in theaters and on its streaming service HBO Max. In the suit, Village Roadshow Entertainment Group said that was a breach of contract and hurt the film's box office revenue. The lawsuit also alleges that the studio pushed the release date of The Matrix Resurrections to 2022 to help attract more subscribers to HBO Max. Warner Brothers' parent Warner Media, a unit of AT&T, had released all of its 2021 movies in theaters and on HBO Max at the same time. A spokeswoman for Warner Brothers called the suit a frivolous attempt by Village Roadshow to avoid its contractual commitment to arbitrating the issue. And New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has announced that he's lifting the statewide mask mandate for schools and all childcare settings starting March 7th. COVID-19 protocols at schools have been contentious. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is still calling for all children over 2, as well as visitors, teachers, and staff, to wear masks at indoor facilities. Coming up, is Spotify a tech platform or a media company? Why the answer to that question matters for the company's business.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Spotify has ambitions to become the world's largest audio company, but it's been in the spotlight recently because of the debate over podcast host Joe Rogan, who has an exclusive deal with Spotify. Neil Young and other musicians have pulled their music off of the streaming service in protest over what they say is vaccine misinformation spread by Rogan on his show. This weekend, Spotify's CEO Daniel Ek also apologized for another controversy surrounding Rogan, his use of a racial slur in previous episodes. Dozens of podcasts have since been removed from his feed, according to tracking sites. Rogan has apologized for that, but Spotify has not pulled the podcast. In a letter to employees, CEO Ek wrote that, quote, canceling voices is a slippery slope. The controversy is reigniting an important question. Is the company a streaming platform or a content publisher? And for transparency, Dow Jones, publisher of The Wall Street Journal, has a content partnership with Gimlet Media, which is a unit of Spotify. Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal music business reporter Ann Steele. Hi, Ann. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Ann, let's start with the latest. Spotify CEO Daniel Ek's comments this weekend where he apologized to employees for backlash over podcast host Joe Rogan's use of a racial slur. But he also said, quote, canceling voices is a slippery slope. Can you parse these comments out for us, considering what has been going on at Spotify for the past week or so, and explain how the company's thinking about the broader controversy over Rogan?
The latest letter from Daniel Ek to employees really in the beginning is emphasizing how sorry he is for how hurt they feel about the content on Joe Rogan's podcast. But he also just sort of opens it up and is very frank and says, you know, while I sort of personally condemn these comments, I don't think that taking this voice off the platform is the answer. And the sort of positive spin I think he's trying to put on it here is that he says, I think it's actually better to keep this voice on here and sort of invest in other more diverse voices. And that will be a lot more effective than canceling one voice.
Spotify has a ton of content, music, podcasts. Why is it, do you think, that Rogan's statements about vaccines and COVID-19 rose to the level that they have? What really sort of galvanized artists to join Neil Young in removing their content from the platform in this backlash that we've been seeing?
It's a couple of things. I mean, first, it's just that Rogan has a massive, massive audience and following. There are folks from all walks of life, all over the world, that listen to Joe Rogan, and he's got a massive platform here with his show. So when people see or hear things that they disagree with that either he or his guests are sharing on the show, I think they look at this and they say, hey, you know, this is a massive audience and there's a level of responsibility here that needs to be taken. The other part of this is that Rogan isn't just another podcaster whose show is distributed by Spotify and broadly in all these other places. He has a special relationship with Spotify. So while Rogan's show is completely of his own doing, so he and his team are fully in control of the content, the guests, the interviews, and Spotify has no editorial control over the podcast whatsoever, they're in a special business relationship. So Spotify is paying Rogan at least $100 million to have his show only on Spotify's service. So he used to have a massive audience, particularly on YouTube, where he'd do these vodcasts or video podcasts. And what Spotify is paying him to do is, you know, have his show and keep his audience just coming to Spotify.
What does all of this mean for Spotify's business model and how it's changed? We've seen this happen with tech companies, the argument over whether they're simply a platform for users to express their views or a publisher, which would indicate a type of content moderation role. What does Spotify have to say about this and what do they want to be?
Yeah, so Spotify is really wrestling with this, and I think they've been wrestling with it for a couple of years now. It started off as a tech platform and very involved with music. And now, you know, Daniel Ek has talked about how Spotify wants to be more than just music. It wants to be the largest audio company in the world. It wants to be the one-stop shopping for, you know, come to us and listen to all your music, podcasts, probably eventually audiobooks as well. You know, get all those listening hours and ad dollars away from radio and just staying on Spotify. As Spotify has expanded into podcasts, a key part of its strategy has been these exclusive podcasts. So whether that's partnering with creators or studios to develop podcasts that are just for Spotify, or like the Joe Rogan deal, licensing a podcast. So even though Spotify has no part in the actual creation of this content in these episodes, it is paying to have that content exclusively. And so people are looking at these relationships and saying, you know, this is more than just Spotify hosting or distributing this content. This is Spotify really having a role and a responsibility for the content on its platform. It's really becoming more like a media company than just a pure play tech company that it started as.
What has this meant for the broader audio streaming landscape? Some of Spotify's rivals, how have they been looking at what's happened here?
There's a lot of companies dealing with these exact issues, you know, specifically around COVID-19, information and misinformation around the vaccines, but also these broader social issues. So we've seen the social media companies, especially throughout the pandemic, attach advisories or disclaimers in a way to any content that mentions the pandemic or the vaccines and sort of points users to official resources to check out. And that's sort of been their way of, you know, combating misinformation or false information on their platforms. But I think Spotify is not a social media company. It's more like a Netflix. And we've seen these issues at Netflix as well. Not too long ago, there were many employees inside Netflix who took issue with what they perceived to be transphobic comments on one of Dave Chappelle's specials that's exclusively on Netflix. So similarly, Netflix ended up sticking by its creator. It stood by Dave Chappelle and didn't take the content down and took a similar tack to Spotify, saying we're going to have different voices and all sorts of content on our platform.
Wall Street Journal music business reporter Ann Steele, Ann, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And finally, the World Health Organization defines burnout as chronic workplace stress. It can lead to exhaustion and cynicism and make you less efficient at work. In the first 10 months of 2021, nearly 39 million American workers resigned from their jobs, the highest number since tracking began in 2000. And while burnout wasn't the reason for all of those resignations, it's something many Americans are listing as a factor. But our Life and Work reporter Ray Smith says there are steps you can take to overcome burnout without quitting your job.
One of the things that people have been told is that if you're feeling burned out, you know, you need to take some time off. And that doesn't solve every aspect of burnout. So taking time off is fine if that works for you. But one of the things that some researchers I talked to suggested, if you are dealing specifically with like a workload issue, where you just feel like, you know, it's impossible deadlines or unmanageable deadlines, bring it up with your manager. And in a way that you take the emotion out of it, you make it super fact-based. ultimately, you can explain that if the workload is unmanageable, what happens is there's a potential for people to miss deadlines or the work to be sloppy or for there to be errors or people to feel resentful and want to quit.
Ray also suggests redirecting your stress by focusing on self-care and helping others on your team. We have a quiz on our website that can help you identify if you're showing signs of burnout and what you could do to overcome it. You can find it at WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.